Welcome back, MGTOW men. For those of you that didn't catch my interview that was posted on MGTOW 101, Chris Cantu's page, or Ronan Mann's, here it is. I just wanted to play part one of what is going to be two parts to this hour-long interview in which we discuss some things that I haven't really talked about in full length on my channel yet and am going to get to, but I figured I'd give you guys a little look at that more candid approach as we talk about in part one my experience growing up, how I became MGTOW, my realizations, my red pill realizations as a teenager, and other things like androgyny. So I hope you guys enjoy part one. I'll be uploading part two, the second half, tomorrow. Hoodies up, man. Hoodies out. Enjoy the interview.
Hey, guys. It's Chris with ChrisCantu.com, and we are here at the MGTOW Global Summit. We are joined today by our special guest, Sunrise Hoodie, and we're bringing thought leaders together throughout the MGTOW or Men Going Their Own Way community so that we can paint the future for MGTOW so that our destinies can be in our own hands. As we are leaders of our individual selves, we are just collectively bringing together the great minds of MGTOW, and so that we can discuss with them, you know, how can we help more men out there. And we're really excited to be speaking with Sunrise Hoodie. Sunrise, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Man, it's awesome. I just started making videos 6 months ago, and so to think that I'd be talking to everyone right now is pretty great. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. And you know, you make a great point with that. It's like, you know, you and correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe you saw things going on in your own life. You saw things going on within society, and then you decided to stand in your truth, create a channel, create a bit of a brand with your Sunrise Hoodie, and then go out and start speaking the truth. What was that process like for you finding Red Pill and finding MGTOW in particular? Mm-hmm. And then what was that turning point where you said, you know what? I got to stand in my truth. I got to get the word out. What did that look like?
So it's kind of interesting that we all have like our own like MGTOW testimonies, I guess you could say it, or our own red pill testimonies, which is one of my favorite parts of meeting everybody. But I would say that I think that I was just generally attuned to more red pill thinking. I remember seeing Fight Club as a 14-year-old, and that just kind of resonated with me for the rest of, you know, my teenage years, throughout high school, throughout college. I wouldn't say that I was like an outcast. I was just kind of more of a, I wanted to do what work I wanted to do. I also had a YouTube channel throughout high school, actually on a different topic, and I was just kind of focused on that. I ended up playing baseball in college, so I was just kind of, I was really focused on pitching, and I was a pitcher and just taking care of that. So I was kind of always on the outskirts a little bit, and you know, some of the quotes from Fight Club really resonated with me. Just the fact that, you know, a lot of men we've just been slowly emasculated by so many different factors throughout society, whether it's just, you know, technology is a good thing, but it's also stripping us of some of our primal nature, I guess, too. And the quote from Tyler Durden about, yeah, my dad's calling me at age 25, it's time to get married. And he's, you know, questioning that. Is it really another, do we really need another woman in our life? You know, and I think that my dad was, both my parents, they're still together. They're been married for like 40 years now, and they've been a good example. But I think one area that I think I kind of lacked with him was just creating this backbone, especially mm-hmm. especially with kind of my Christian background too, where it's just, you know, you want to lend a hand to people, you want to be a good Samaritan, and you want to be sacrificial. But I think that in my first couple relationships, I didn't really stand my ground, and I kind of got walked over the first couple times, and I said, you know, this isn't really lining up here. You know, I'm supposed to be a man, am I not? You know, and so I think I had these red pill leanings all throughout my high school years, all throughout college, and then I didn't date throughout high school, and then I dated this girl in college my junior year, and I just kind of like fell head over heels for her. She was really attractive. I kind of just lost my mind in it. And, you know, all the while trying to maintain grades and trying to get myself set up for my career and pitching in college, that I was just really run down and ragged, and I was making stupid choices. And I touch upon that a lot in my videos about how you kind of have to, you have to take care of yourself too. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that also led me to MGTOW. And so I get to that point, I almost end up getting married to this girl. Like, I'm 22 and I'm like, what is happening? And then we have, you know, I break up, and then I'm sitting on my couch at home between after my summer of my senior year in college, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing next. And I stumble upon, I don't even know what my Google search was or what my YouTube search was. I still try to remember it, but I'm like, I think I stumbled upon like an M Crafts video. I don't know if you guys know who he is. And then I watched some Jerry Liu videos, and then obviously Sandman. And I know this experience definitely is corroborated by a lot of other MGTOWs, where you just start binging on it for like, right. You know, there's this reality that exists out there, and these terms and this label, like MGTOW, this acronym, it's like, this exists and this was in my mind for this long, but you know, it's being felt by other people's realities. It was just one of the most mind blowing things. And I came across that in 2016, in the summer of 2016. And then I had this red pill knowledge, and then I went off to be a grad assistant at a school. So they basically, I work there and they pay for my school. And, I'm far away from home, and I end up dating this girl for a couple months, and I'm like, you know, I'm coming into this with this red pill knowledge, I'll be all right. And she turns out, like, it turns out, like, I am pretty convinced she had some pretty severe ability. And so, like, it was just kind of a scarring experience. Really lost myself again. And then I was just like, you know what, this is it. I need to take a stand. I need to really not only just consume, but I need to speak out on what I've learned. And that's been one of the most therapeutic things about making videos and talking to everybody, is that it does keep you grounded and it keeps you accountable. And so that was kind of my very general, very basic outline of my MGTOW journey right now. And so I'm 24, and I guess at the crux of it all is just, I do look at the verse in the Bible, Paul's talking about how, you know, if you're a married man, it is, you know, I try not to knock those that intend to get married, but if you are a married man, I believe that it is harder to truly be able to let go of the things of the world, because you are focusing on taking care of your family, you are focusing on taking care of your kids, and if you're called to that, you're called to that. But I know for me, I wanted to be able to not have to worry about taking risks and worrying about the consequences as much in life, and to be able to take more chances. And I think that's kind of why I go MGTOW, is because, you know, I can, if I need to, for whatever reason, fly to London or take a drive up to Maine or do whatever I need to in that moment, I can. So yeah, that's the background, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's great. You hit on a lot of great points. I think we all, and I would say, you know, the fact that at such a young age that you were able to, you know, start taking some of those ideas like the red pill and, you know, maybe a movie like Fight Club and integrate that into your life. And then even, you know, thinking, you know, we all think, oh, I'm red pill, this won't happen again. And then yet it happens again. And then you start to wonder, well, at least for my own testimony, like, what's wrong with me? How can I improve? How, you know, I'm being shamed. So maybe there's something to that. And then when it happens over and over again in different, you know, various relationships, you start to kind of peel back and say, well, I'm going to take a responsibility for 100% of my life. But there is something to this. If I keep seeing the same patterns over and over again, and then also, you know, as you were, you know, watching, you know, different channels and hearing others' testimony, okay, well, this isn't just me. And then this isn't just, in my area or my country, but this is all over the world. These things are happening, whether you're in France or you're in, in Asia somewhere, you're in South America, it doesn't matter. It's an agenda that's worldwide. And I think what I like most about the MGTOW Brotherhood is that, we irregardless of race, religion, the color of our skin, the language we speak, what country or continent we're from, and let me know if you agree, is that we are forming a bit of an online fight club. We are, running a Project Mayhem, if it were, yes, to get people, to get other men, to help other men, just as Tyler Durden was helping, the Edward Norton character break free from those mental traps of consumerism, materialism, break free from the trap of the 9-to-5 job and go off and start a fight club and start Project Mayhem. Thank you so much for sharing your testimony. And I think it's also important to, for someone that is Christian, I think what we're taught, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we're taught that there is a hierarchy of God, man, and then woman. And what I found in my life is that that hierarchy has been rearranged such that we have daddy government as God, and then women being propped up falsely underneath God and marrying, the daddy government state. And then men down at the bottom who are the workhorses. They are the slaves out on the plantation picking the cotton, getting whipped, getting thrown in the chains and the shackles. And then we are just supposed to take it as if, that is the natural order. So I think MGTOW, and just regardless of, what religion you may practice, we are just trying to go our own way from that dynamic hierarchy. And if we were to get back into relationship, it would need to be a true, God, man, and woman. Those are my thoughts. What would you have to say about that?
No, I completely agree with that. And I think that a lot of our issues societally have come and just stem from simple foundational structures that have been eroded. It really simple things that, simple structures that were in place for a reason and that are natural, but you just want to brush them under the rug and ignore them. And then now we have a myriad of issues. And I definitely think that things like the postmodernism movement also spurred it. There's no everything's relative. There's no, you can't even, the sky can't even, you can't even make a contention that the sky is blue with, it's like you have to be open-minded, and I think that leads people down to a place of negative nihilism. I think that nihilism can be functional to some regard, but it leads it into a damaging way. And I, I touch upon that what are the natural states? What are we as men meant to do? What are women meant to do? I really hearken back to that when I make my videos, because I don't really have any other template other than, what is supposed to be, argued with. I can't just make things up. I believe I have to hearken back to the template. Even basic physical attraction, why does it exist? Why are you attracted to someone? Why do you have sexual attraction? And understanding the reasons for that, and not just thinking that it's just something programmed into you, but harnessing, it is to procreate, and if you understand that, well, is that a part of your life or is that not a part of your life? So just very simple answer. So I definitely would agree with that. And I think that it's definitely something that MGTOW men agree with across the board for the most part. Yeah, obviously, they can have the freedom to choose. But
absolutely. And I think one thing that we share as a brotherhood that I have not found in any other kind of men's types of groups, like a PUA group or some of the others, is that we are free to disagree. As long as we do it respectfully and it's backed up by logic and facts and data, and that we can, you know, peacefully disagree. And because I know, like, being here at the MGTOW Global Summit, like, in speaking with Ronan Man here, who, by the way, guys, just big shout out to Ronan Man. He has been instrumental in creating this vision. This MGTOW Global Summit was his, the genesis began within Ronan Man's mind and painting that vision. So I just want to make a quick note to be sure to donate and support Ronan Man's channel. There's some links down below via crypto or via PayPal. So, but even in my discussions with Ronan, you know, the week or so that I've been here, we'll get up early and we'll just go into it back and forth, you know, talking, okay, what do we want? How do we want this? Okay, would this make sense? Oh, no. And he disagrees with me a lot, guys. I mean, he's like, oh, Chris, you're disagreeing with, you know, with Ronan Man. But no, we actually have a lot of disagreements. But in that, you know, when you trust someone like a mentor who's kind of been there before, you know, I may not follow all of his advice, but at least I take it with a grain of salt and I really think on it because there's something there. And I think that is what a lot of us MGTOW content producers are doing, is we are putting our ideas out there and then it's resonating. You know, you may resonate with some of it and not all of it, or, you know, very little of it, but I guess it's just the open communication. And the reason we really have this summit is so that we can map out our future of what those five letters mean, men going their own way, MGTO. And so that the lamestream media, the powers that be, the social justice warriors, the liberal, you know, feminist virus, the feminine mind virus that I like to call it, that they don't try to paint the picture of what those five letters mean, and so that we control our own destiny. And so I think speaking with you, and just, you know, what you're seeing in school and maybe your friends around your age, I mean, what's the general consensus with maybe, you know, your social circle there with school? I know you're busy with school and work and putting these videos out, but, you know, do you feel like, and we're talking men in particular, do you feel like the young men that are around you, that they're resonating with the red pill message or finding it on their own? Or do you still think that, you know, they're struggling with the same kind of blue pill thinking that we've all kind of had to go through?
I think that it's hard for me to, you know, fully get the temperature of it just based on, you know, emails that come in or comments or conversations that I have at, you know, whether it's at work or at school, just because, you know, the people that will email me, yeah, they're a unique group. They're going to know the red pill, and the majority of men, though, they're not exposed to that. And I always kind of like hold I don't know if it's like a set in stone ratio, but it's like for every one red pillar, there's probably like 9 white knight blue pills out there, you know? So it's just like, you know, so it's like, I think that's kind of like an indelible truth about society and about men. And but I do notice work, ever since taking the red pill, your kind of antenna goes up for this guy acts a little different. He thinks a little bit differently. You know, there's a couple coworkers, you know, and they're single still or whatever, and they always advise us younger guys. They're like, you know, watch out for women. Don't do this, don't do that, and be cautious here. And my antenna is up about that. But, you know, I'm a little bit removed right now. During my four years as a baseball player, that's about as blue pill as you can get right there.
At least you can admit it, man. This is like AA for men, you know. This is our
That whole group right there too, especially. I kind of had my own clan. I was very much like kind of a serial monogamous type guy though, so I wasn't, you know, ever pumping and dumping type. But I would say that men are discouraged right now in colleges, and you see that with the dropout rates. Like 3 in every 10 men that are, you know, freshman men in college are dropping out. And understandably so. They enter college, and one of the first things that you do as a freshman is you get a seminar about sexual respect and consent. And it's like, I'm already being framed as a rapist. Why do I want to be here? Are you actually going to support me, or am I targeted? You know, and society, and especially the education system, is like, oh, well, you're a man. You're automatically privileged, so you deserve to be pigeonholed in this way and just get on with your life and deal with it. And guys are like, no, I don't think so. You know, and if they have a backbone, at least, and as a result, more and more are leaving college, more and more are having a difficult time getting their feet underneath them. And I know for me, you know, the 20s, your 20s, this can be any decade, but your 20s are a very uncertain time. And you see a lot of guys just really struggling and really trying to find their identity as a result, because they're just pushed to the side. They're not, daddy government, like you said, is the new man. And he's like, well, why do I need a degree? Why do I need to improve myself if the government's just going to be there to take care of the woman and the kids? So that really, I think a lot of guys where they struggle is finding where their internal motivation is. You know, for so long, it's been external motivation. It's been just survival. Just, I need to go out and hunt each day, and I need to get food for the family. And I always have that demand. But now it's like, all right, well, the government's taking care of that. I'm not needed. Where do I find self-actualization? You know, and I think that's really the point that men my age are. I struggle with it too. Yeah, it's where you're finding that on a daily basis is so key and so hard.
Right, and just taking it back to Fight Club, you know, it was the, it's only when you lose everything are you free to do anything. And I think that is the self-actualization. I mean, I know for my own testimony, being over-sexualized as a young man, being on the pussy hamster wheel, as I call it, always looking for that next validation, that next fix. And basically, when you strip away the need for female validation, when you strip away the need for a woman and putting woman on a pedestal, then what are you left with? I mean, that was my whole motivation to make money, to have nice things. When you strip all of that away, you're kind of left with nothing. And then it's almost like you have to rebuild yourself all over again in a new paradigm. And I think that's a lot of the good work that we're doing in the community, and especially you with you know, the kind of the younger kind of early 20s, college age, and even maybe younger. I'm sure you have a lot of fans that are younger than college age, in high school or even in middle school, and being able to resonate with those younger guys. I know for me, having my best friend commit suicide, you know, what drives me and my purpose now is to help as many men and to save as many men's lives that are out there struggling, you know, having not found those five letters, MGTOW, that are maybe thinking of taking their own lives, that are in a dark place right now, and maybe doing self-destructive behaviors like drinking or drugs or some of these other things. What have you found early on, or I guess, what have you found with the younger crowd? You know, do you feel like MGTOW is helping those younger guys kind of work through some of these things that they're seeing out in the world? And what's been your maybe experience helping younger guys?
Yeah, it's really been pretty amazing, but also at the same time very encouraging. I mean, this would dovetail into our, you know, the talk about what we see in MGTOW in the future. But, you know, I just have this notepad on my iPhone that is just kind of like, you know, I have an idea. I'm going to put it down there and just kind of have a list of ideas. And one of the first ones I remember putting down was the next generation of MGTOW. And I was like, man, some of the first people that started to engage in, like, hit me up on Google Hangouts and chats and whatnot, like, these guys are 14, they're 15. And it's like,
wow, dude.
It's like, I'm like, what? Like, I remember watching Fight Club and I was like, this is probably the apex of this red pill knowledge. And then here comes, you know, here comes MGTOW when I'm 22, and I'm like, man, you know, that's 8 more years right there. That's 8 more years of learning. And what I see for all of us, for, you know, regardless if you're making content or not, you can still reach these guys. And what's been lost in society is just male mentorship and discipleship, not just from like a fatherly level, not just if you're related to that person, just like, you know, how we used to do it. Blacksmiths would pass down skills, you know, whatever it was, your hunting skills, fishing skills, you know, all these things, that there's just a dearth of that. It's not as prevalent anymore, you know, and this is an avenue to do that. And you know, it's obviously predominantly information based right now, right. But it was mind boggling. And I would say it's hard for me to completely gauge, but I would say probably the majority of my average viewers are, probably in their 20s. I do get quite a few high school as well. And I'm actually working on a project right now. Just actually got an email from an 18-year-old, but I'm working on a project right now, just in a class, and it's talking about you know, men's struggles in college in particular. Because I know, I mean, even when things go well in college and things were, I was like, I'm encouraged about the future. It just seems very overwhelming for a lot of men right now, especially as jobs continue to disappear. You know, and so as a result, I think depression is probably talked about issue that I get from younger men. Depression and definitely confusion about women in high school. And I'm like, you know, that's women in high school, girls in high school and even college. I mean, it's just a very fickle mind, very fickle, you know, mentality that you can't really reason with. But that's the general you know, assessment that I have the young MGTOW, and I'm hoping to see more guys make content that are young and that are willing to speak out as we go forward.
Right. You know, I was just thinking as running here. Hey, when I was in high school, in junior high school, I remember that the only class I could really relate to was woodshop. You know, woodshop, I could really, I've really felt like I finally found a place. I was totally comfortable. And I actually heard another MGTOW talk about this, but I remember Mr. Mohan, my teacher, was like my favorite teacher of all time. I met him when I was an adult. And I just like, he was like a superhero, you know, because he was he's like almost like I felt like he saved me, you know, because I was like, I could do something, you know. And when I went to like classes in school, it was all for girls, I felt like. I really felt like that even back then, back in the early 80s and late 70s. I felt like they would make you sit still, you know, which I didn't want to do. I wasn't good at. And then they make you write in the lines. And I just feel like it was just all girly stuff. My sister loved it, you know.
It taught submission. Very well, it taught you to be submissive and submit.
Mm-hmm. Right. I just felt very bound in, you know. And then when I played football or when I was in any of those, the PE class, I felt good, you know.
Right.
The weightlifting, we had volleyball class. I felt great, you know. And then I'd go sit down. It was just like, oh, it's this unnatural thing. My legs were frozen. I would just sit in there, you know. And so what do you think? Is that what the younger guys, like the 14-year-old, 15-year-old, what do you think is really going on in their minds? Is it the same as when I was in school? Or is it different?
You know, I think that men are still men. And we're born with that same just innate drive to want to do things like that, to want to do work in woodshop, to want to be to do stuff in mechanics, to computer engineering, to create, to build. And I know for me, you know, going to PE class or whatever it was, going to baseball practice afterwards, like that was those or going hiking or kayaking, whatever, those were the moments of, like, I think a lot of men can agree with this. You're just total mental clarity. You have peace. And I know if I don't do something physical each day, or, you know, as much as I can, I get agitated. I get like annoyed. I don't have that same mental clarity. I'm like, something's wrong. Like, I can't think sharply, you know. I get irritable, you know. And so I think that is still a part of men, but the issue is society is just, there's so much androgyny in society now, and there's so much, especially I'm very into, I follow a lot of hip hop culture, and I'm just looking at these guys and I'm like, the model is to be 6'4", 120 pounds, smoking pot. You know, it's like, there's no ever
sagging skinny jeans and very effeminate long dress like shirts. And
right. It's like, you know, if we're supposed to aspire to that, then there goes any sort of, you know, developing anything masculine about you. And I think that men are having to battle through that, because we're, no matter what, we're still going to be influenced if we expose ourselves to mainstream messages and to things like that in the media. Even if you are, you know, believing I'm in control of my thoughts, I can, you know, choose what I believe, no matter what, it's just going to seep into you somehow. And I think that that's the issue, and the education system is part of that. And I think that men struggle in school sometimes compared to women, because women do like that organization and structure provided for them. Men are like, I just want to do something organic. I want to create it. I want to entrepreneur. I want to generate this. I want to learn to create my own curriculum. I don't want you to, you know, give me an A or a B or whatever it is. And women, they look at it and they're like, that's leadership to them. And they naturally will want that. And so they will do better in school and they will stay in school. And so I still think that's in place. It's just there are barriers to men finding their outlets today. There are more barriers even.